Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
TMS is brought to you daily, by and large, by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Mason Yorkus, Greg Campo, and Dustin Hicks. Coming up on TMS, Naked Quest 2, Front Junk.
Questing in the nude!
Senior Geezer.
Waiting for Gal Gadot.
Sorry, we tore your home down. Here's the bill.
Damn it, Bigglesworth!
The Softwater Wedding was unbearable.
Fleetwood Mac and Cheese.
Geeks Expo.
I've never seen a buried septic system.
My shields are up. Your attacks are wasted.
Elf with fur and sacks.
Gay bears in Idaho.
We have 38 minutes left until the end of the world. Pick a Seinfeld episode already.
Fair, unbiased, blah, blah, blah with Amy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
My name's Michael.
Hi, I'm Trisha.
Hello, my name is Neil.
And I'm Trevor.
Appears to do, yes.
The Morning Stream. They wouldn't give us any more fish.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Tuesday, August 15th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
It is a good morning, I think. It's nice out. The hint of cooler weather around the corner, you know. Mm-hmm. All my water's working. The sprinklers are good now.
Always a plus.
Only took a month or something for that to all work out. Although, I will say this. I saw something I'm not sure anybody wants to see or talk about in their day, but I saw something I should probably share for the show. In fact, it was kind of, it's almost tailor-made for what we do here.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. All right.
It combines a couple of things that, I don't know, people in our audience might find interesting. Okay. I was walking around the neighborhood. Doing a little dog walking like I do. Mm-hmm. And saw a guy on his Quest 2 up in a window in a townhouse, naked up there.
Jeez.
Yep. He's just up there with his Quest.
Fully naked, you could see everything.
Oh, yeah.
Naked.
Yeah, I mean, he was far enough away that it was a little obscure, but you could tell. That dude was freaking naked. I saw his bum and his front junk, and he had his Quest on, the white one, so it's the Quest 2. And he's got the two controllers. And I think it was some kind of boxing thing because he's doing like punching with it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Hey, so I quickly ran down in my pocket there to grab my phone because I was like, I'm going to get a picture of this and just blur it out and share this with the world and pull it up. And sure enough, he had moved out of the way by the time I went to take a picture. So I hung around for a minute and then thought, I probably shouldn't be sitting here waiting for a naked dude to come back into view.
Yeah, I think that it's starting to say as much about you as it is about him.
Yeah.
The longer you wait to snap a photo.
Yeah. And then I have to explain to local authorities that I was doing it for the likes, you know?
Right, exactly. I'm just doing this so I can put it on my social media.
Yeah. Not sure they were going to buy that, but... Yeah, I guess, you know what, look, you're in your own house. Maybe close your blinds.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez.
It's fine with me, you know.
Or wear a tracksuit, like normal people getting their Beat Saber exercise, their daily Beat Saber regimen.
I just picture like Armenian mob tracksuit, though. That's all I see.
Yeah, right. Of course, that's what we all picture. Yeah.
Big white stripes down the side. Yeah. Adidas logo.
Remember that blonde kid used to come to all of the events, the Nerdtaculars and the TMS Vegas. Blonde kid kind of looked like Garth from Wayne's World.
Oh yeah,
and he always wore a red tracksuit.
Yeah, and he came to that gamer thing we did in Salt Lake that time you flew out for.
The Geeks. Yep, Geeks Expo.
Always
yep.
very shy. I haven't seen him in ages.
Super every time, super nice, but very, very shy. Like basically would be the guy who sits on the sidelines, smiles at us, but doesn't
Yeah, you had to go to him to get something.
You had
out
to
of
go
him.
To him. Yeah.
Which we were happy to do. But I don't know why. Totally. If he's listening, how you doing there, buddy? I hope you're good.
Still doing all right. Yeah.
Yeah. He was pretty young then. I think he was like 18. So he'd be mid 20s now, probably.
Yeah. Wow. No kidding. Holy cow. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, I didn't put this in the show notes. I got another Coverville fan letter from prison. Another Kentucky, a different prison, but same. It is also in Kentucky.
Whoa! Also, what is
I
going
think
on?
Somebody just approved Coverville recently for inclusion on there because he gave me a little more details. Apparently, they all get tablets, and they don't get to they get to choose what they listen to, but everything has to be vetted. And I think Coverville is now like it probably just came out on some list of like, all right, this is okay for the inmates to listen to.
Well, let me. So, just so I understand, a tablet in this must be a lower security.
It is. It's a minimum security because these are the guys. So at least the other prison was the guys who do the fire stuff. Who are like, they're on the fire department while they're in minimum security prison.
Oh, right. They do volunteer firefighter stuff while they're out and they're the work release or whatever. So, okay. So the reason I say that is because if you're in like a maximum security prison. I would think you could make 8 or 9 shivs out of one tablet.
Yeah.
Just tear it apart and, you know, the RAM chip in there alone is going to slice it.
Exactly. An iPad Pro and you've pretty much got yourself a set of Wolverine claws.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's interesting. So they get their own personal one and they can just listen to whatever?
I guess so, yeah. And they get to listen whenever, so.
That's cool. Yeah. What else did he say? Did he say anything about, like, I don't know?
He asked if I would put together a Black Sabbath episode.
You should do it.
I've done at least 5, but that's okay. I'll do it. I mean, listen, I don't know when Ozzy's birthday is coming up, but let's see here. What's Ozzy's next milestone birthday? Currently, he's 74. So guess what? This year, December 3rd, there will be a Black Sabbath episode.
Goodness, that's awesome.
Guaranteed. That's how quick things happen here.
Yeah.
He also asked if I'd put band names in the show notes, and it's like, dude, I put them in the show notes, I put them in the chapter information, and I put them in the lyrics of every episode. So if you go into the lyrics, you see like everything.
Wow.
And if you do the AAC version, it's all in there in the chapter information. I don't know if the AAC version was approved for their tablets, but I think even MP3 shows in the right player, it shows chapter information.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. But this would be, obviously it's, you know, we'd celebrate his birthday, but this would be more about, you know, the whole band, right? The whole
this would be about the band. Yeah. I do have like, you know, covers of Bark at the Moon and of course tons of Crazy Train and stuff like that. But
did Geezer Butler, is that his name?
Yeah, Geezer Butler. Yep.
Did he go on to do other stuff or did he kind of just fizzle out? Feels like everybody in Black Sabbath kind of fizzled except for, well, I guess Ronnie James Dio went.
Tommy Iommi did not fizzled, but I mean he did. He was in
Wait, was Dio in there? Or am I making that up?
Ronnie James? He might have come in. No, he came in as a replacement vocalist for Ozzy, right?
Right. That's my memory.
It's been a while since we did the Soundography episode of for Black Sabbath, but I enjoyed that a lot more than I expected I would.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd like that too. I think.
Yeah, Dio was in the. In the 80s. Actually, June 1979, Dio replaced Ozzy.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, that makes sense because Ozzy's big solo career was most of the 80s, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. He went kind of crazy there. Geezer Butler was GZR, was Black Sabbath, Heaven and Hell, Deadland Ritual. I mean, if you look at Geezer's list, Black Sabbath and then performing with Ozzy Osbourne when he went solo is,
gotcha.
By the way, Geezer Butler's full name is Terrence Michael Joseph Geezer Butler.
Yeah, and I didn't know this, but I share a birthday, July 17th, with him.
Oh, look at that. No kidding.
I had no idea.
He's 20 years your senior,
he
too.
He is.
Exactly.
He's very much my senior.
Yeah, he's your senior geezer.
Yeah, he's getting some senior discounts at that age.
Right, exactly.
Wow. Well, all right. See, that's cool. Look at you doing good for the incarcerated
I know, exactly.
White-collar
crime. What the heck, man? I don't know how this all worked out, but... I'm loving it. I think it's really funny.
Based on the last couple of days, you may get a request from somebody in a Florida prison. Anyway, what? Sorry. You were saying something?
Big fan of Chumbawamba. Maybe you could find it in your heart to play some Chumbawamba.
Wait, would you have enough material to do a Chumbawamba?
I could definitely do a Chumbawamba cover story. You know, these guys, they get knocked down like me. Like me, a lot of people said I couldn't get back up again, but I did. We did. I got back up again.
I swear you've been working on this in private. You've been there like in the closet
there might
somewhere.
Be times between lift rides that I might, you know, be like, all right, we've got to turn left here. We got to. Oh, they said we couldn't do it, but I turned left. I showed them.
Yeah, let's check Jeannie. She's doing all right.
She's doing okay.
You're all right, Jeannie. Yeah, Rainbow Bright, right. You guys okay? Yeah. Okay. Make sure they're good. All right. Yeah. Also, we got some clarification on the difference between gray water and black water. Okay.
Okay.
Because I guess there was some debate about, you know, whether septic tanks and what the filtering and all that did.
With black water, you need the Mississippi Moon to keep on smiling on you.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Black water, keep on turning. That's the song, right? Do I have that
that's
right?
That's the one. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes.
I know none of the other lyrics to that song. Well, anyway, we got a call about it. This is from someone who would know, so here it is.
Hey, boys, this is James the Trucker calling in for TMS. I'm on I-70 heading east towards Columbia, Missouri. I just figured I'd do some educating on the septic system, Billy Bob. So gray water is not sewer water. That's black water. Gray water is kitchen sink stuff and laundry stuff and... All of that other tainted water that isn't contaminated with sewage. Sewage is black water. Also, and I'm not a sewer expert, but I've never seen a septic tank above ground. Maybe that's a mountain thing. Louisiana, California, Missouri, Texas, they're usually buried. Anyway, love the show.
See, that's interesting because mm-hmm. I've never seen one buried. I've only ever seen them above ground.
Because they're buried, you can't see them, Scott.
Ah, good point.
Yeah,
good point. I guess I always assume if I don't see one above ground, it means that they've got regular plumbing, but maybe they don't.
See, and I might be assuming, because I know like there's those big white cylindrical tanks.
Yeah, that's
and when
I'm
you described
of.
Above ground septic tanks, that's what I visualized. I don't know, those, you know, the things I've seen might be actual like water tanks.
That's a good point. So when we were at Bear Lake, I saw, I don't know, hundreds of these. That's all they had there. And when I asked the dude at the store there, he said, "Oh, those are septic tanks." But maybe he doesn't know. Maybe these are water tanks of various kinds. Maybe they're gray water tanks. I don't know what they are. Now I'm questioning everything. If you're supposed to bury that, that's news to me. My wife's parents, before they moved out of Mississippi, they had a septic tank and it was above ground, and that was in the South. So now I don't know who to believe. I don't know who to believe, you know?
Yeah. Jay Fantastic says you're probably seeing natural gas tanks. That makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, those are full of gas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, gas, poop, it's all the same. Yep. But yeah, no, all the ones I've seen are buried underground, or at least all the ones I know about and assume they exist are buried underground.
Yeah, I mean, this may be one of those lifelong misdirections I've had. I get those sometimes where it's like, oh, I've made an assumption for a very long time about what a big white tank in your yard meant, and I thought it meant it was full of poop.
That's right. By the way, this is just going to go out to one person now.
Yeah.
All right. Amy, you know, you can keep attacking my shields, but... My game is playing in the background, so your attacks are going kind of wasted. Yeah. Okay, anyway, so back to our show.
Yeah, so back to our show. Nobody in particular. It's fine.
Nobody in particular.
No. All right, well, anyway, thanks for that call. We also got a text from Carney. I assume that's...
From Wilson Phillips?
It's a great question. Maybe it's from someone who runs a carnival. I don't know. Well, it says,
hold on and we'll find out if it's her.
Hey, Scott and Brian, if you found out the world was ending in 45 minutes from the time you were told, what would you do with the 45 minutes you have left? Says Carney.
Shit, 45 minutes. That's so dang specific.
Yeah, he could have said a day. I don't know why 45 minutes, such a tight little time frame.
No kidding.
Gathering up family is kind of hard in 45 minutes. You'll spend most of the 45 gathering them up.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I would do. I would call Tristan up if Tina's, out working, doing her job or whatever.
Yeah.
Call her up and say, let's meet somewhere in the middle, have a hug for, 3 minutes before stuff.
We can watch it go down or whatever. Like, let's say it was a bomb, right? Let's say we knew a nuke was in the air and it was going to land in 45 minutes. And so I would want to have everybody with me so that we could sit somewhere and actually be there to see it, even though it doesn't matter to see it, but I kind of want to be in. I want to, if that thing's going to hit.
You are visualizing that pastoral painting of the family all backs to the artist, all just sitting there, arms around each other with the cloud, with the mushroom cloud directly in front of them.
Kind of, yeah, because here's why. I want it directly in front of me because I do not want to survive this. I don't want to be, a disgusting
nightmare. And you figure if you're all looking at it.
Yeah, if we're all right there in its path. Even better, let's recreate the start of Terminator 2. We'll all hold on to the fence. Yeah.
Find the nearest playground fence.
Doing this, in the fire. Sure. Yeah, that's what I would do.
With a blast that's powerful enough to rip the flesh off your arms, but not pry your fingers off the fence.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. And it could be anything, a big giant meteor, whatever. We just watched 65. We could have one of those,
Sure.
Whatever. But if it's a big thing like that, catastrophic thing, I don't want to go hide somewhere. You're just asking for 100 years of fallout and cancer and death and horrible
stuff. Oh, yeah. No, not planning on hiding, but I'm not like, where's a good place that we can sit and watch this thing? Like we're going to a fireworks display. All right, do you have the blanket? Who's got the blanket?
I don't know if you know you're going to go, though, right? Like,
yeah,
it's all right to, if you're going to go. You may as well.
I wouldn't waste any time trying to find a vantage point to be able to see where it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't do that either. Like, if you're going to use some of your 45 to, get location data.
45 minutes. I'm not spending any of those trying to find a nice
No, that's angle. That's a fair point. The theory is it would be big enough that if you just faced west, you'd get it, right?
Probably, right? Because it'd be coming from California. We don't know it.
Maybe. Oh, of course. Yeah, that's where we'll get. That's where they'll get hit.
Take California.
That's the reason. That whole song is the reason we're going to get bombed. But anyway, we hope that answers your question, Carney. I don't know. I mean, just we'd gather family and, try to have a last moment together like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what else you'd do. I'm not going to try to speed run Baldur's Gate 3 in the last 45 minutes.
You're not going to watch the first 45 minutes of Mad Max Fury Road.
That's not bad, though. Or, get a little taste of Parasite before I go,
Yeah, right. Exactly. Brian, I watched it.
Although I could probably get 2 Seinfelds in.
Oh, you'd probably 45 minutes. You could, you could get 2 in for sure.
I could probably get 2 in. Take 2 of my favorites. Just quickly watch them. Assuming
you
internet.
Skip over the end credits.
Yeah, just get and not even bother with his. If it's one of the ones in the seasons where he's doing stand up before, I just skip past that. Get right to the meat of the story. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That's the solution.
How do you choose? That's the other problem is you're going to go on Hulu or Netflix or wherever they are now and be like, oh, Super Nazi or The Contest? Yeah. Oh, The Soup Is Not a Meat. Which one am I going to watch? Which two?
Yeah, and Kim's going, we got 38 minutes left. Freaking hurry up and pick.
Exactly. See, that's the thing. So really, what you should do now when we're not in danger is figure out which 2 episodes of Seinfeld you want to watch in case you find out the world is going to end in 45 minutes. There so that go. When the time comes, you're prepared.
You're saying prepare ahead. I get it.
Yeah. Prepare ahead.
We all should do that. You always should be preparing. Most people would say the way to prepare is have a bunker full of food and medical supplies and all that. Mm-hmm. I say it's pick your favorite 2 or 3 episodes of a Seinfeld. That's my preparation.
Yes. There you go.
Preparation S, I call it. Brian, you saw a movie. What did you see?
I did. Last night, Tim, I went to an advanced screening of a film starring the voices of Jamie Foxx and Will Ferrell and Randall Park and Isla Fisher in her natural Australian accent. Holy crap. Yeah. The world is done for. Like, you combine that accent with her great comedic acting and her beauty and all that stuff, and we're just all done for.
She's great. Love her.
She's great. Lucky Borat. Lucky Borat. The movie's called Strays. Shit at luck.com. And it comes out Friday. It is an animated film. Well, I shouldn't say animated. It's live action dogs with animated mouths.
Oh, right. Kind of like the Babe, Pig in the City kind of deal. That sort of thing, right? Where they...
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, okay. Like everything's live action. That the dogs have little animated mouths, and it's a very, very... It's well done. It's really, really well done.
Yeah.
And it's about a dog who gets separated from his horrible, horrible master played by Will Forte and finds a bunch of other stray dogs or finds some other dogs to help him get back. It's really... It's Elf with fur and a lot of sex jokes.
Oh, wonderful. Is what it is. Oh, we got it. Is this an R-rated film? Oh, it is.
Very R-rated. Like...
Okay. Interesting.
Very R-rated. is like Apatow level R-rated kind of stuff.
Josh Gad, Rob Riggle.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob Riggle plays a police dog. Go figure. That's not, you know, that's not typecasting.
That's
great. I don't know what is. Yeah.
That's great. So clearly this is aimed at adults because
this is
rating.
Aimed at adults, and it's very, very funny. It's it's extremely raunchy, but I was very surprised how much heart it has at the end. Like it really I don't know, really surprised me, like how emotional it made me. And maybe it's just because I love dogs, but
Oh, interesting. This guy directed, I wonder where I'd heard this name. This guy directed a documentary, but it was kind of a comedy thing called Becoming Bond. Did you ever see this? The Bond thing about George Lazenby thing? Is this the one I saw, or am I thinking of something else?
2017. I bet this is one you saw. The early life and casting of George Lazenby as James Bond on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely it, because I remember, so there's some, it's like a fake documentary, kind of?
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, yeah, because you got Dana Carvey and Jeff Garland, some of these people, they play characters in it.
Well, the film employs the use of reenacted dramatizations of Lazenby's life, interspersed with actual interview footage of him.
That's what's going
Josh
on.
Josh Greenbaum.
I don't think I saw the whole thing. This is I have a weird memory that I saw this, but I think I maybe only saw bits and then forgot to go back.
Oh, really? Oh, but man, this looks great. Good. I mean, it's a 78%, if people care about Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, I don't know who does. We should talk about that on Film Sack sometime. But it's
Hey, Brian, what if we talked about it in 2 weeks? I'll bet we could work that out.
2 weeks? You think we could do it?
I think we could do it.
2 weeks?
Yeah, I think we could do it.
Okay.
Saturday, but the Saturday after, I'll bet we could make that happen. Out.
All right, well, we'll see. We'll have to see if we can do that.
Weird.
You can't do that because I'm going to be in Asheville.
How is it even possible? And so is Dunaway. This isn't possible.
How is it even possible? People
Forget
won't be hearing our real
it.
Voices. It's going to be AI, Brian, and AI. It's going to be brain and brain because our names will contain AI.
Nice.
Anyway, Becoming Bond on Hulu. I got to check this out. This looks great.
Yeah, I remember. I need to go back. Maybe I just need to rewatch. I just don't remember.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway, so this is good. You liked it.
This is good. And I'd say this is, you know, there's no reason to see it on the big screen unless you really want to. I mean, you know, support your good movie theaters. Don't support your shitty movie theaters. But if you like the movie theater experience because you've got a good one near you, then support it by seeing this movie in theaters. But but if your movie theater eats poop like many do, sadly, if your movie theater is an Alamo Drafthouse, then wait till it comes out on streaming.
Well, I'm interested. You've piqued my interest, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah.
We almost watched that Gal Gadot deal. This came out.
Oh, right.
Heart of Stone. Yes. Yeah, Heart of Stone. There it is.
Yeah.
But then man, the reviews were so mediocre and bummed me out.
Really?
Yeah, I was like really looking forward to it. I thought it looked interesting and I like her and it looked like a spy thriller deal. And, you know, I was stoked.
You know, if only we could talk about whether movie reviews should sway us in whether we watch a film.
Wait, I have another idea. Not this Saturday, but the next one. Yeah. We're going to make Saturday, it happen.
You want to do that? You want to do that?
Yeah, we're going to make it happen, that's you guys. It's amazing. We're planning stuff in real time here. It's incredible. Well, anyway, Strays, go check it out.
Anyway, Strays, go check it out. Yep, worth seeing.
Wait, how'd you get a pre screening type thing?
Alamo Drafthouse, baby. Yeah, we got. I'm on the list because we have those go see movie every day if you want tickets. Yep. And so we got invites. Hey, want to see an advanced screening? And I think they even mentioned. Oh yeah, it even comes with a free live Q&A with Will Ferrell and Jamie Foxx. That's basically streamed to all the theaters that are showing it.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it before the movie. It's funny, there were no previews. Steven Schleicher would have loved it. It just went 6:30, bam, movie starts.
Wow.
8:00, bam, movie ends.
Wow.
And
unbelievable.
Tina and I stuck around to see if there was anything at the end of the credits. There wasn't. But
well, that's good to know. Now everybody can know that when they see it and just get out of there.
Yeah, there's a funny pre-credits scene, but nothing after the credits, including, and we waited maybe for like 30 seconds, a minute, and it was like, I don't think they're doing the Q&A, but there were a lot of people still waiting in the theater, so, you know, we probably just were impatient. We're like, yeah, let's just get home. Yeah. Let's get home and watch a little more Strange New Worlds.
Yeah. Oh, you already, how deep are you in there?
We're only two episodes in. It's very, very good, but we're only two episodes.
You're not to the famed musical thing yet?
I have not gotten to the musical episode or the cameo episode. Oh, Molly Fenton brings up a good point. The actor's strike. Yeah, that probably prevents them from doing a live Q&A and talking about the movie.
Yeah, because right. That's considered promotion, duh.
Yep. Yeah,
that would make sense.
Thank you, Molly.
So those people were waiting too long, but they're probably used to that. Alamo probably does that a lot, but not during the strike, is my guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, there you have it.
Still want to see Oppenheimer. Still want to see that in theaters before it leaves theaters.
You know what's tricky with that one? You're probably the same problem as me. It's just going, okay, when do I really have a carving out
3 hour chunk of time.
It's a lot. Exactly. It's a ton of time. And you can't just like, I don't know. That's hard for me, but I still want to sit there.
I heard FBI agent Doug went and saw it, and he got hungry 3 times during that film.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a deep cut callback right there.
Very deep. Very cut.
Agent Doug.
Nicely done.
That meeting was so long, I got hungry 3 times during that meeting.
That's pretty good. All right. Well, we're going to do now a little thing we call news coverage. And so much going on in the news right now. It's good that we're here, you know, to break the news, to discuss the news, to bring the important stuff to the people.
Watch the news.
So here it is. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Accidental Vegetarianism.
Yeah, Carter had a whole thing of vegetarian enchiladas that Kim made alongside the ones with the meat in it. I didn't know that.
Oh no.
So yesterday I ate them and I thought, well, these are a little different, but they're still good. I wonder what's different. And then I realized, oh, there's no meat in these. And then later Carter's like, who ate my enchiladas? I'm like,
oh no. When does Kim come back? Like, how long does...
Oh, she's here.
Is Carter going to starve? Okay, good. Yeah, so Carter's not going to starve. Okay.
She'll be fine. She'll be totally fine. I hope, anyway. All right, let's do this one. The city... We'll get to what city in a second.
Okay.
A city mistakenly tore down a man's home, and now they are suing him. The city is suing the man for $68,000 in demolition costs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this seems wrong to me. Let's find out more. First, the city demolishes home. Now they're trying to get to foreclose on the property to pay the $68,000 in demolition costs. The whole time, the Atlanta man, so this is in Georgia. Nothing else happening in Georgia in the last day or so. Georgia, devoid of any kind of news.
Yeah, like news free. It's like a dead zone with regard to news.
Nothing going on at all. Nothing in the national interest of the country or any of that. Anyway, they're trying to foreclose on this property. And the whole time, the Atlanta man said the paperwork had the wrong address on it. That was as simple as it was. Quote, I'm not going to let the city take this from me. I'm going to fight them tooth and nail. Says homeowner Everett
Tripodis.
Is that how you'd say that?
Yeah, that's how I'd say it.
Tripodus.
I think it sounds Greek. Yeah. Tripodus.
They called me tripod in high school, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, did they? Yeah.
It's just an empty lot.
Cameras.
I was really into the camera class I was taking.
Yeah, exactly.
Says it's just an empty lot now, but the city demolished the Southwest Atlanta home. Now, Tripodus told Channel 2 consumer investigator Justin Gray. It sounds like a guy who's got his own billboards, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That he has been served with a lawsuit from the city of Atlanta claiming and saying they intend to foreclose on the property and then take the property. Quote, When I saw that came from the city, there we go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was quite excited. Maybe it was a letter of apology. Maybe it was a check. Maybe they were going to justly compensate me. I opened it up and realized they were suing me, says Tripodus.
Jeez.
What a rip in the pants. Let's see. They reported this in March before the tearing down of the house. Well, where's the guy living now? They didn't get into that in the story.
No.
But anyway, feels like if that happens, you owe him. You can't sue him.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And you need to pay to have the house rebuilt.
Yeah. I mean,
yes. You know.
Or compensate him the equivalent amount of whatever that is.
It seems obvious to all of us.
Yeah,
I'm looking to see if they show his house and did they just get the whole house or did they figure out what was going on before they got too far into it?
I mean, it looks like they took it. This video goes, let's see. Hold on. Let's see if I can find this.
I gave up on the video after 3 minutes of, I'm Justin Farmer and I'm Louise Bigglesworth.
Louise Bigglesworth. She's going places.
Here's tonight's news on Atlanta's blah, blah, blah.
She'll be on MSNBC next year. New contract.
Atlanta Action News.
Yeah, they don't really show the house. They show some land around this, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Is everyone's 3D news, local news channel 3D intro feature a helicopter? Because I swear they all have a helicopter. That's so funny to me.
They really want you to know that the first one did, and everybody's like, oh, man, they've got a helicopter. And then the ones are like, well, crap, we've got a helicopter, too. We better let people know.
Yeah.
Because that's how we get our news, too, with a helicopter.
Yeah, helicopter news. It's the only news you can trust.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do here, but it sucks. I don't like that.
Yeah.
So get maybe, you know, if I was a conspiracy theorist, I'd say maybe this whole RICO Violation Act, federal indictment stuff is just to cover up this one guy's
case. Just to
case.
Cover up the accidental demolition.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Like these, dude, I've so, let me tell you this is my new thing. We'll see how long it lasts. Okay. I'm done. I think I have to be done. Reading, contributing to fine, but reading social media, I have to be done. Because here's why. Today, I fired up.
Yeah.
And I see one story that says death toll reaches 100 in the Maui fires. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, man, that's awful. Very next thread is a guy who's theorizing that it was started by bombs that were set by the government. There's a whole conspiracy theory out there because some of the trees didn't burn and that makes no sense. So it had to be a special kind of napalm or some kind of thing. They're going off in 100 different directions about this. And I went, I'm so irritated by this that it makes me want to engage. And then my brain went, Scott, remember, that's what this is. Yeah. That's what they're doing.
That's what they're trying to do. Exactly.
Yeah. You want to sucker into this or do you want to finally break the chain?
Exactly. So what are you still doing? Well, I mean,
I'm breaking the chain.
We've got so many people who follow us on X.
That's what I'm saying. We got a post, but we just don't need to read. You know?
Right. Exactly.
So that's what I'm gonna do. I'm a poster, not a consumer. That's how it's gonna work. That's the deal.
Yeah. Basically, I am a I am a replier. If you message me on X, I will reply.
Yep.
But I'm certainly not gonna scroll. Especially since I can only read 8 articles before it wants to charge me or whatever it is.
Whatever it is now. Whatever stupid thing they're doing. But I just...
Cinderade says, done. Did Brian just really call it X? Yes, I really just called it X.
Well, that's what they want you to call it.
Yeah. I enjoy calling it X because I'm an X user.
Yeah. my usage is so far down. So even then, I'm already better at not using it.
Yeah.
But this one, I popped it up this morning and just went, you freaking weirdos. You're all weird. And I don't know how many of you are serious, how many of you are just engagement hounds. I don't know how many of you are just lying. I'm just done with you. Done with these people, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had it.
All right.
And then I'll probably look at it later. All right, let's check out this story. Colorado story for you.
Ooh, Colorado connection.
That's right. Since we don't have a clip, Brian has to say it every time. That's how it works.
Yep. Yep, sorry.
A bear has crashed a Colorado wedding and raids the dessert table.
Sure.
Oh,
sure.
Gosh.
Listen, you forget to shave for a few days and people start calling you a bear.
Yeah.
It's just not
right. It's a little stereotyped, isn't it? You know?
Exactly. Come on now.
Are you saying Brian's a gay guy in Idaho? Well, you better have some proof to back it up. I don't know. I always think of bears, like the gay bears. To me, it's always Idaho. I don't know why. They have a huge contingent community, bunch of people up there, yeah. Which is great. You know, yeah. Go for it. But I always think of Idaho. Obviously, it's not really just Idaho, funny. But
yeah, no, very much not just.
I just think of it that way. I have two or three friends that are considering themselves "quote unquote" bears, and they live up there. So I'm a little skewed.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
So check this out. Oh, is there video in this? Hold on a second.
Oh, good. I love me a good bear eating sweets video.
I think this might be it. I'm gonna play that. We have to wait for Bigglesworth to talk again. But anyway. Colorado couple's wedding started with a monsoon rain and ended with an uninvited guest. Oh, well, once again with the monsoon rains. Are we going to get into that thing again? That whole mess?
Yes, we are.
Can't have monsoons out here, I was told. But here's this article calling it a monsoon rain. I don't know. Anyway, ended with an uninvited guest, maybe unrivaled as well. A bear raiding the dessert table. Caitlin McRosie Martinez and Brandon Martinez shared photos from their Boulder County wedding, which took an unexplained turn when the monsoon rains began to fall right before they exchanged their vows. Mm-hmm. She looks like there was low pressure in the shower. Anyway. I just saw that Seinfeld episode and, you know, when everyone's hair goes flat.
Yeah. That's really funny.
Like that to me.
Soft water.
Yeah, soft water. Looks like they don't have video of the bear. That's unfortunate. Anyway, so by the time it started pouring rain on us in the middle of the ceremony, we all had to, you know, hide and get out of there.
You're not referring to the newscaster, are you?
No, just the lady sitting there. She's something about her hair.
I love Jennifer Meckles. That's Jennifer Meckles, and she's...
I was going to say, you probably know who this local reporter is.
It's adorable. Yeah, we love Jennifer Meckles in this house.
Wow, nice. Well, good job, Jennifer Meckles. You've got a fan in... Arvada.
Yes, moviegoer Brian Ibbett.
Yeah, frequent moviegoer Brian Ibbett would like to say.
Oh, yeah, this. She does. Yeah, she does look like.
Do you know what I'm saying? Just like a little bit low pressure. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not her fault. It's the local water people. You got to get that done. No, oh, they do have
no more. Oh, there it is. Yeah,
they're showing it on a phone, on a camera, shooting at a phone. Why didn't you just take the video off the phone and the. Dude,
I don't know how to get video off my phone. How do I get video off my phone?
I'm so annoyed by that. That's the easiest thing on this planet.
Oh, look at that bear. And the lightning's going off out there. Oh, man.
Wow.
Well, you'll never forget your wedding.
Exactly.
Good for them. Jeez. Anyway, they said...
At least it's nice to see they have a cover on their phone, though. That's good.
Yeah, you know, that is good, right? You want to protect it and... Somebody was trying to.
That looks like they actually, maybe not. Maybe I'm mistaken. But it actually looks like they superimposed the video. Mm. It doesn't look like you're actually looking at video from a phone.
Oh, like they put it on.
They put a phone up there just to insinuate that, you know, this is where the video came from. Like it looks like phone with a green screen.
Let's see. I'm trying to see. Because they do have some shots where they show the bear up close. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
You see what I mean?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
They're trying to be.
Yeah, look at the left edge. The left edge, you could kind of see a little bit of blue. A
little break on it. Yep.
They don't have their green screen.
Up and around the edge of the moat thing.
We intentionally made this image smaller to indicate that it was shot on a phone.
See, that now I'm even more annoyed.
Yeah,
because now they're trying to just be creative. It's like, come on, You guys, we know you shoot.
Jennifer Meckles did not approve that. That's not the kind of stuff that I would expect from Jennifer Meckles. So
it can't be Meckles' fault. No.
Definitely not Meckles' fault.
No, for sure not. Well, anyway.
Because we talk about Jennifer Meckles all the time.
Yeah, and she's a solid, local reporter,
she's
I guess.
She's good. She's like they said, hey, we've got all these news people, but we need a girl next door type. Mm. And that's what they got with Jennifer Meckles. She's like, somebody accidentally invited me to this newscast. I'm just going to go ahead and read this because it's in front of me.
It's something I like about
She doesn't that. Come across as the whole, like, today, wildfires are raging across Maui.
Yeah.
It's like she's more.
Just the more down to earth, you're saying.
More down to earth, yeah. We like her.
I like that term, down to earth. Mm-hmm.
Down to earth.
Yeah.
Feet on the ground.
Yeah, feet on the ground, nose to the grindstone.
Keep reaching for the stars.
Oh, man. Well, there's that. That's a story. That's a fun one. Now let's jump over to Salt Lake City.
Right. Okay, good. We got to, for balance, you had a Colorado story, now you've got to have...
Yeah, but just for fun, I'm just going to remind everyone that Canada exists.
Canada!
Nothing to do with the story, just letting you know.
Only because you can't find the Utah connection.
100%. 100% yeah. Correct. Because I got rid of it because we hardly used it, and then now I need it, and it's not here.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you going to do? I'll play this for my poor soundboard use. There you go, Scott. You just heard it.
Don't let Dvorak hear it. Let Dvorak hear that you don't know how to use a soundboard, Scott.
Yep, that's right. All right, so this is interesting. Speaking of water and rain and lack of and all that, prior to this year's or this last winter, there was real concerns, like legitimate hardcore concerns, that the Great Salt Lake was literally going to dry up if we didn't get enough rain or enough precipitation.
Okay. Yeah.
And if that happened, it was all kinds of ecological issues. And this thing's, this is a millions of years old body of water that is prehistoric in every possible way of defining it. And nobody wanted to lose it, right? Like Utahns have been like pretty freaked out about it. Anyway, through pouring water into the Great Salt Lake, one group hopes to submerge all of Utah. They want to take the whole state and go back to its prehistoric state when we had Lake Bonneville, it was called, or that's what we've named it. But it was basically, the valley was a giant basin for a huge body of water back in the day.
Yeah.
And they want to get back to that, which I think is a little weird, given that there are millions of people living here. But anyway.
Pouring water, I can't wait to hear the story. I'm gonna let you tell me the story, Scott.
All right, here we go. I mean, Beyonce's video is the best, but I'll read it. Much has been said about the issues facing. You ever lose your car keys? Let me try that again. Facing Utah's Great Salt Lake. The Great Salt Lake hit its lowest recorded record level in November 2022. Arsenic. Is the exposed lake bed or in the exposed lake bed threatens to poison the air. That was another big thing people are freaked out about.
Okay.
Scientists at Brigham Young University in Provo estimate that without policy changes, the lake would dry up in 2028 with local species killed off by overly salty water beforehand. Today's exposed lake bed is currently strewn with the corpses of dead seagulls and swarms of brine flies. Can confirm, last time I was out there.
Yeah.
Insane amount of flies. It's awful.
Brine flies. They
love
horrible.
It, though. They love it. The brine flies are having a moment. Oh, yeah. They're into it.
We love the salt. Oh, more salt. No.
So it says here, even after receiving record new feet of water from last year's massive snow runoff, the Utah Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands reported it's not going to be enough to fix the problem. The entire lake bed still needs to rise another 6 feet, hopefully more. In the 1910s, the iconic Black Rock was completely surrounded by water. Right now, that thing is naked as a jailbird. And in fact, when I was a teenager, I think it was still flooding there. Like we had plenty of water.
Wow.
So I don't know. It's climate change or a million other things have all affected it. Anyway, one group thinks it's possible, but their ultimate goal is to refill the entire basin. Here's more. Hold on. I got to pull up the rest of it.
Yeah. Okay.
It says here, the Utah-based art collective featuring artists, musicians, writers, and thinkers exploring the unique perspectives. This isn't it. Hold on. What happened to the story? Is this the right story? Hold on.
That's them. The Arc Hive.
Oh, the Arc Hive. Utah-based art collective. Okay, artists, musicians, writers, and thinkers exploring the unique perspectives and peculiarities of Utah, Mormonism, and the American West. That's a long tagline.
It is, yeah. I put that on a t-shirt.
They're known for their stylish design, tongue-in-cheek humor, blah, 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 blah. Let's see.
Last October, the Mormon art group threw a Halloween gathering in Orem's University Place Deseret Book after it became a spirit Halloween.
So you can, they're having a little bit of fun, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In August, they held a Refill Lake Bonneville protest at the Black Rock Historic Site near the Great Salt Lake. The goal of the gathering was not only to save the lake, but to restore its prehistoric levels. Lake Bonneville was a pluvial lake that covered most of the state during the late Pleistocene or Ice Age is what I would say, because I don't like saying Pleistocene.
That
sounds like something I need to ask my doctor about. The infographic below explains how big these artists want to dream. Anyway, so it's kind of a lark.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a major lark.
This is jokiness as opposed to...
Yeah. But we do want to fix the problem. It's a bad out there. Yeah. And it's a really cool... Oh, there's a shot of that rock. That thing is now like a desert rock. But if you look at it in this old black and white photo in this article, that's how it used to look. Just stuck out of the water like that. It's so cool. They call it Black Rock.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a rad place. Kidding. If you've been out here and you haven't been to the Great Salt Lake, it's stinky because it's, you know, literally prehistoric salty mess. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's another planet. It's just unbelievably cool. Worth seeing if you're ever out this direction. Let's go back to Colorado.
No kidding. Oh, we have another Colorado spot.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do this.
Park.
I really
going to have like a sequel to Jurassic Park called Pleistocene Park.
Yeah, Pleistocene Park made out of clay. Sounds like plasticine.
It does play as like plasticine, yeah.
I didn't mean to do this, to have Colorado, then Utah, then Colorado again.
It's like a little Colorado Oreo.
Yeah, this is crazy.
It's a Western Oreo.
So check this out. Employee at a Colorado driving school plows through the front of the business building So this is someone who works at the driving school, not some dumb kid who hit the gas when he meant to hit the brake. Someone who works there should know better.
Someone who knows better, yeah.
It says here an employee at a driving school in Colorado made an unforgettable entrance into a building on Tuesday while attempting to park a Hyundai Tucson in a spot in front of the community driving school on Wadsworth Boulevard in Lakewood. Do you know where that is?
I do. Totally do. Yeah, Wadsworth is kind of my major thoroughfare, but in Lakewood, so yeah, I don't know... community driving school. Somewhere south of 6th Avenue.
Is it like I assume it's for like students who are doing it during the summer or something, or not doing it through school or something.
Yeah, or maybe it's kind of a dumb name, right?
Yeah, I agree.
But where do you want to learn how to drive about community driving
school? I like to go to community driving school.
It's funny, there's one. Oh, there it is. 2099 Wadsworth Boulevard. Oh, 20th and Wadsworth. That is right by the lizard store. Yes.
I'm sorry, what?
We have a lizard store.
Like a pet lizard? Like pet lizards?
Yeah, like a place you go and buy reptiles, but I think they're called Lizard World.
And they're just focused on lizards.
They're the name of the place is Lizard World, I think.
Okay.
Or at least they have a sign that says lizards.
So like an emphasis on lizards, but they have other stuff.
I'm not finding it. Let's see. 20th? I mean, I'm looking at the right... Oh, is it Catty Corner from... There's Mile High Nails, Olive Facial Club.
Okay.
We'll talk about Olive Facial. Rule number one.
Yeah, I know.
Nocturnal Tattoo 2.
Tattoo 2?
Where's the reptile place? There's a place right next door called Rocky Mountain Punk.
Ooh.
But I don't know what it...
That's hardcore, man.
It is. What is it? It's a...
yeah, what do they do there?
Nature, Art, and Oddities. Oh, interesting.
Okay. It's a weird name for that.
That is a weird name. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. There's Scales and Tails. That's the name of the
Scales and Tails.
Scales and Tails is the name of the lizard store.
So it sounds like an emphasis on reptiles.
Yes. Yes.
But they probably got gerbils and other shit and fish and stuff.
I think only enough to feed the lizards. Let me take a look here. Yeah. Basically, Scales and Tails, where reptiles rule. So they are that's your one-stop reptile shop.
Okay,
is what they are.
So they're like they're like a Harley Davidson store. That's all motorcycles.
Exactly. They do have a picture of an outline of a rat on their homepage, but it is an outline to let you know that that's for food.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, their animal of the month is a baby Savannah monitor.
Oh. Well,
what kind of resolution does that have?
Speaking of Georgia, Savannah Monitor.
Savannah Monitor.
I used to love lizards. I used to be a big fan as a kid. I had a couple of them. I would always get them. We'd go down to Lake Powell, and I would catch two or three lizards. I always had to let them go, but I always loved doing that.
Yeah.
I would enjoy your Scales and Tails store.
It's a great looking store. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah,
I would go there. Well, anyway, this thing crashed through all this. It crashed
so
under
much, so much to get to with this.
The best part about it is there is a learn to drive sign, and they crashed right under that.
That's the best. Oh my God. Please tell me there's a photo of that. Cause that would be, that's the postcard.
That's what
right
you
want
to see.
It's
yeah. That's your meme generator machine right there.
Exactly. Yeah. I bet it's in this, video from Fox.
Probably
Denver Fox News. Ugh.
We got a Lakewood police wrote on X, formerly known as Twitter. That's how they wrote this, by the way.
X, formerly Twitter.
Says, thankfully, there was only one minor injury. They didn't say if it was a lizard who might have been affected. let's see here. The department did not specify who was injured. I'm guessing it was probably the driver, but maybe not. Maybe somebody was in the way.
Yeah.
In response to Fox News Digital, Community Driving School said, it's still their name. I hate the name. Community Driving School said, reports classifying the employee as a driver instructor are not true. So he works there, but he's not an instructor.
He's not an instructor. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Person who drove the vehicle into the building was a new employee on his second day. He was observing classroom instruction. He had not started any training to be an in-car instructor, says the owner, Steve Rohman. Rohman. Roman? Roman.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. They went fully in. It wasn't just like the front of the vehicle went in.
Let's
like
see.
The entire vehicle went into the store.
They bust all the way through? Oh, geez.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like the end of a fail video. Look at that, guys.
Yeah, and I think that's a legal weed shop. Oh, well, yeah, this is... The guy has a hood and a mask on. This is like a different... This has got to be a different video. Oh, it totally is a different... Hilarious. So, under the article, employee at Colorado Driving School plows through front of business's building, right?
Yeah.
The video is of a suspect crashing a stolen car into a King County, Washington cigarette shop.
What?
This is the kind of top-notch journalism that we expect from Fox.
Wow. We're not even
putting
editors.
This video.
Yeah, this is bullshit. I hate that. Yeah. Nice job, Fox News. You did it.
Yeah.
Exactly. You nailed it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Amy will be here telling us what books we should read. She's also got a little story about her experience in jury duty. So we're going to hear about that.
Oh, good. Okay.
So awesome. That's all coming up after this break. Brian brought a song. You want to tell us who it is and what it is and all that?
I do. Oh, this is good. And I'm going to warn people that there is a little bit of a swear in the song. It's got a little bit of an explicit tag right at the beginning, so if you can get past the first minute, then you're fine. Yeah. But this is great. It's still some heavy alternative rock. I really dig this. This is a song called Crying in the Shower by alt-rock vocalist and songwriter Let Down, and that's all one word, LetDown. He's already cracking the top 20 at alternative radio stations around the country. And this is from his debut, which is also called Crying in the Shower, EP from Let Down, and he's going on tour. Check him out starting September 24th in Louisville, Kentucky at the Louder Than Life Festival, and then going all over the country after that. Here is Let Down with Crying in the Shower.
Crying in the shower, fucked up from the pain. You never liked diamonds, only shit that you can break. Running out of porn stars and highs that I can chase. Crying in the shower, but I can't wash you away. I don't wanna learn another lesson. I don't wanna lose my head. I can see the edge of your passion scattered across my bed. Exchanging these angels for demons.
just means hurt. Standing here with all of my emotions, once I never thought I'd feel. Running through the memory of a past life, voids that I can't fill. Exchanging these angels for demons.
To get out alive now. We at McDonald's care about your life.
A coup de grace, I'll leave to the wolves and Gila monsters.
And we're back. Hey, who was that one more time?
I'll tell you who it is. That was the artist Letdown from the brand new EP Crying in the Shower. That is the title track.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Boy, when I add someone to the call, you'd think I would hit the right button to make it work.
Hit the right button, would ya?
Oh, you know what it is? Discord always says, you're in three other groups with this person. Are you sure you want to group with them here again? I'm like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. You don't have to wonder. You weird ass app. All right, check it out, everybody. We're doing this.
One of the things that I enjoy also is reading.
It is also something we enjoy also, and that's reading. And we'd like to do it with Red Fraggle 3, a.k.a. Amy Robinson. Hi, Amy. Welcome back to the show.
Hi. It's so good to talk to you guys. I've missed you.
Missed you as well.
I missed you too.
How'd it go last? You had something last week. I don't remember what it was. You had something to do.
Yes. I had a doctor's appointment last week.
Everything go fine? Everything good? All is good?
It's a little weird, to be honest. I've talked about this on the show before that I have narcolepsy.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And turns out I have gotten a new neurologist.
Yeah.
And my new neurologist thinks that I may have been misdiagnosed.
Oh.
So, wow. Yeah.
So what does that mean? Do you know what that means yet? Or are they not sure what that means yet?
Well, he's kind of one of these doctors that's like, until he has a diagnosis, he doesn't want to say possibilities because then you'll just Google it and say you have all those symptoms kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even if you're doing it subconsciously, you know, you'll lean that way.
Yeah.
So, which is good. Like that's what you want in a doctor. You want scientific, for sure. You know, very, you know, try and limit the biases, that kind of thing.
Right.
So at minimum, I'm going to have to do another nighttime sleep study because he says based on some of my answers to the intake form and also like that I am a woman in my mid 40s, that I am right smack in the demographic of people who acquire sleep apnea. So I may have added sleep apnea to the mix. And so I need to do a nighttime sleep study to determine that. Then he's going to look at the, you know, the EEGs and all that stuff from my previous sleep studies to see what they show. And I might have to do the daytime sleep study also to
You know, those are fun. It's basically here, we're going to hook you up with all of these wires to measure your heart rate and your oxygen levels and all that sort of stuff. Now sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. just relax.
Just relax and get some good rest.
Yeah. You
know, in a bed that is not yours.
Mm-hmm. And in a room that's not yours, like all that stuff.
Knowing that there's a medical school intern sitting right out there, like watching you.
Your every,
like there are cameras and like you know, telemetry and all that stuff. Literally.
I was surprised at how quickly I did fall asleep. Like, this was, I don't know what my binge was, but I was able to bring my iPad in there and basically start watching an episode of MASH or something. And I think dozed off even before, or like, you know, was starting to drift off before the episode ended. And I got what felt like a good night's sleep up until 2 a.m. when they said, okay, I think we've got what we need. Do you have a ride home?
Yeah. Wow. That's like, pretty good, especially for you. Where
can
you're
I not
like,
just sleep? Like, I'm not bothering you. Can you not just let me get my sleep in?
Can I just do like a little more? Thanks.
I'm surprised to hear that, given how you sometimes you don't sleep. Like, you're kind of a wake up in the middle of the night.
Well, this was also 10, 15 years ago. I can't remember when it was that I had my first sleep study. It's been a while. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been 11 years since I did mine. So, that's fun.
They don't do them back to back, right? You don't do night sleep study or straight into the day one, right? You got to give some time between those, I assume.
I didn't do mine, you know, right back to back like that. Basically, like, it's kind of like when you go in for an MRI, like, they don't tell you anything right then. They're like, okay, great. Like Brian said, okay, great. We got what we needed. Go home. And then, you know, you follow up with your doctor and then they say, oh, okay, we need you to do this other type of sleep study now. And then you schedule that. The daytime sleep study is bizarre. Like, you spend all day in there, and five times throughout the day, they come in and go, okay, time to take a nap. And you just lay back down in the bed and they turn the lights off. And then 20 or so minutes later, they come back in and they're like, okay, time to wake up. And they just look to see if you actually fall asleap.
That would be really hard
during those
for me.
Nap times.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. If you want to test me driving after 20 minutes and then I'll fall asleep.
That should be your sleep study test.
Yeah.
Great. That feels like a great idea.
It's like, oh, you nodded off and hit the side of the embankment. Congratulations. You have carcalepsy.
Carcalepsy. Carcalepsy. That's what my husband says that about me all the time, that I have carcalepsy.
I really do. And I still, again, I blame my parents because they drove me around when I was little when I would cry. And that's how I would calm down. I think
it
that
has basically trained you on how to fall asleep in a car.
So now it's just that feeling of the road. Doesn't matter what music I'm playing. Windows can be wide open. You know, blaring AC doesn't matter. I'm just like, oh, can't be better. You got to drive.
Sawing logs.
Well, anyway, let's get. Oh, you were going to tell us about your jury duty thing. What happened there?
Yes. Okay. So not jury duty, but like jury selection. Because I have served on a jury, but that was like a long time ago. I was in college. But I can tell you
dabbled a little bit with the jury selection in college.
Well, no, that was just when I had to do jury duty and I hated it. It was awful. I was like, this guy is so obviously guilty, and you know, it was really ridiculous. For the trial for my sister's murder, they actually asked us to sit in for jury selection. And so I was listening to your talk about it, Scott, and like how, you know, 2 days, it took them 2 full days to select the jury for that. And it was really kind of interesting. The process was, you know, they brought in the jury pool. And so there's like, you know, I don't know, 80 or so people sitting all in the gallery part of the courtroom. Right. And they've all got little paddles with their number on it. Right. And so then they kind of do like a bit of a cattle call just to get rid of the obvious people. Right. It's like, okay, does anybody know the DA or this other person in the DA's office? Do you know them personally? Raise your hand. Does anybody know, you know, the victim? Does anybody know the defendant? Does anybody know any of these people and their families? You know, do y'all know them? Okay, you can go. You know, and they just like are eliminating the big swaths of people. Then they get it down to a decent number. And what happens is, at least for this one, for this trial, and again, like, this is just my one experience with this. Your mileage may vary based on your municipality or whatever. But this was my experience with it, and I thought it was kind of interesting. So the attorneys interviewed each of the jurors individually. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, you know, do you have any experience with domestic violence? Do you have any experience with security systems? Do you have, you know, all these things that were pertinent to the trial?
Right.
And then, of course, they asked, like, the, do you feel like you could be fair and unbiased and blah, 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 blah. Right.
Sure.
And then so and the way it works is each of the attorneys has a certain number of strikes. And they don't have to say why. They don't have to justify it. They can just go, oh, I don't like that lady. Mm. And then and they go back and forth. And they will, of course, like while they're questioning people, they will say, Your Honor, I move to have this juror, you know, released for cause, in case they were of particular bias. Like if they just got up there and said something like, yeah, no, like I know what it takes for you to get arrested in this county. And so if they arrest you, you're guilty or whatever, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
They will remove you for cause. Or if you get up there and say, you know, like in your case, Scott, you're like, look, I am the only breadwinner for my house and it would put me at a severe hardship for me to serve, blah, 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 that kind of thing. And then they'll excuse you for that. Those kinds of things.
Right, right.
And those are free. Those don't cost the lawyers any strikes. But basically, they play this weird little poker game, you know, to see, like, they're like, okay, so he's probably going to strike this person, this person, this person. But, you know, we'll wait and see what happens here. And, you know, because they go back and forth going, okay, strike this person. And now you get the paper and I strike a person, you know. And then they get left with the jury. And what was really funny to me was there was a dude who was a manager at Taco Mac. And ooh, he ended up,
I want to know more about being, this Taco Mac. I need more taco places. Sorry. Go ahead. It's not important.
Taco Mac is funny. It's like, it's a pub. It's a brew pub. Like in the South here, we have Taco Macs and they're one of these places with like a gajillion tap handles, you know, and so they're always rotating out their beer selection. It's a sports bar. That's mostly what Taco Macs are. Okay. They happen to serve tacos, but it's mostly like you go there for the wings. Okay. Like it's one of those kind of places. You go to Taco Mac for the wings.
Right. But they don't sell mac and cheese, just tacos and wings. That's what I was expecting.
Yeah. Their kids menu has mac and cheese on
there
it.
There we go.
Like,
okay.
It's Kraft mac and cheese.
That's nothing to write home about. That's certainly not putting in your damn name.
So this right? Mac, the Mac in the question here is a dude named Mac, is my guess. Right?
It's like Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah,
Fleetwood
does
not offer any mac and cheese.
No. But Lindsey Buckingham will do it for a couple of bucks. He'll do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
The hilarious thing was that we all kind of were like, oh, you know, we kind of like Taco Mac guy, you know. But then throughout the trial, he was actually, I think he was one of the alternates, but one or two of the people serving on the jury actually had to excuse themselves, like, because the nature of the case was just, they were like, I'm having severe anxiety sitting here listening to all this. Like, it's really bad. I can't do this anymore. Please let me go. You know?
Wow.
And so they had intense. To excuse her. And so a couple of the alternates had to step in. And but there were a few times we looked over and it looked like he was falling asleep.
Oh no.
And I was like, and so I like let the DA know. I was like, Taco Mac guy is falling asleep. You know? And I think it turned out he was actually just like, it was during parts where they're playing, you know, audio recordings and stuff.
Sure.
And he was closing everything out and listening.
Just
you know?
Closing his eyes, maybe lowering his head so they could pay full attention to it.
Yeah. Right. Yes, exactly. And the reason I say that is because he ended up being the foreman of the jury, which we were like, Taco Mac guy is the foreman. Who knew? You know,
I love that he's Taco Mac guy.
I love that.
Did you watch the Jury Duty TV show, Amy?
I have not yet, and okay. I keep hearing about it, and it keeps getting suggested to me. You know, just when I turn it on, and I'm like, okay, we have to watch this show.
Somebody falls asleep during that one too.
I think it. This experience, this lame experience I had with mine last week has actually, is the one thing that got me the most ready to finally watch that show.
Mm.
Okay. I've been resistant up till now because I just don't like reality TV, despite what all my friends say about how amazing it is, Brian included. I just been a little bit like, okay, I don't know if this is really me. But now I kind of want to go, because I didn't get to go deeper myself. I kind of want to, even though it's like ultimately not a real thing, I still want to see the process, if that makes sense, you know, and not just get it from Law and Order or whatever.
Yeah, this breaks every, like, any hatred and well-placed hatred that you have for reality shows is this doesn't fit in the thing that you hate.
That's good.
This is a completely different thing.
That's what I need.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Is it a little like Joe Schmo? The premise reminds me of that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it is like you're basically one guy is the only, there's only one person who's unaware of everything that's going on. Everybody else is an actor. But to paint it with that wide a brush really makes it sound like, oh, is this just, you know, some guy getting punked? It's really not. It's really, it is so, so much more than that.
All right. I'm going to check this out.
Maybe we'll both watch it.
You really should. And it's so brilliantly done, and you feel better having watched it at the end. Like you feel like, wow, I actually, there's hope for humanity because I watched this thing. Like the way this guy went through things without giving too much away, went through this experience and was genuine and generous and really good, like a good person. It's like, okay, this gives you hope.
I'm in.
That's fun.
I gotta watch it.
Yeah. I'll totally watch that. Yeah. We finished watching Silo, and we've been doing a little bit of a rewatch of Ted Lasso because my kids wanted to watch it. And I'm like, yeah, I'll watch Ted Lasso anytime. Yep. And so we're just kind of flip-flopping around right now, and we're alternating between The Problem with Jon Stewart and The Reluctant Traveler with Eugene Levy.
Yes, I hear that's really good. I do want to see that.
It is so good. But just to warn you, don't watch it thinking you're going to go, oh, that's interesting. I think I should travel there. That looks like a great, because where he's staying, freaking $7,000 a night accommodation.
Jeez. He is not staying in the places that people like you and me can afford.
Good Lord.
No.
Wow.
So yeah, right.
Great.
Even when he went to South Africa, I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting, because he stayed in the Kruger National Park, and I've been there, and the accommodations were not great. Like, Kruger National is amazing, but the accommodations themselves, it was like, okay, well, we're in Africa, whatever. And I wasn't expecting a 4-star hotel. No. They made this amazing looking hotel out of these old train tracks that they don't use anymore. And so they've like a train there. Oh, it's awesome looking. And it goes over this river where a bunch of hippos live. And so that's like the big thing that they hear from the guests all the time is at night they can hear the hippos. And
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Always hear the hippos. Right?
It looks really cool. Anyway, yeah, I love that show. Cool. So yeah, I need something new to watch. So
there you go.
Jury duty. Yep. Jury duty's it.
Well, I guess what else? You might want to read something.
Yes.
So yeah. Let's talk about that. That's what this segment is.
Read a book.
Yeah, let's do it. What'd you bring today? I heard a tiny bit of it because I had to get it queued up, and I went, oh, I know that voice. So now I'm excited.
I bet you recognize the voice. Yep. So yeah, it needs no introduction, I don't think.
All right, here we go. I'm going to play our clip.
What mattered to me and to every other comedian who started doing those Monday nights was that even more than the Uncabaret, the Largo was truly a place to change your career. A good set could literally change the path of your life. I walked back into the kitchen one night, and there was Paul Thomas Anderson inviting me to be in Magnolia. Another night, the Farrelly brothers came, and I started punching up their movies. And that was just me. There were suddenly other faces, other amazing talents. Paul F. Tompkins, dapper and razor-witted, who on most Mondays did what another comedian described to me as structural damage to the room. Here came people I remembered from San Francisco, Greg Barrett, Greg Proops, Karen Kilgariff, Marilyn Rice Cub, whom I'd first seen in San Francisco doing poetry at the Albion, was now bringing the same off-inflection, broken iambic attack and startling shifts up onto the stage. The Largo audience went anywhere, shifted gears effortlessly. None of us had ever seen anything like it. Sarah Silverman, David Cross, and Louis C.K. would go up and destroy like they were playing the video game Doom in God mode. God mode, by the way, that's where you play with endless ammo, endless lives. A lot of my Mad TV sketches never got written because I was too busy mowing down beholders and caco demons with a pulse.
He's such a nerd. I love it. I love it.
That's awesome. I know. I had to include that clip because he talks about playing Doom and how, you know, stuff didn't get done because I was too busy playing Doom.
Yeah. Those early 90s, that's awesome. All a lot of us did, I think. Doom was a constant in my life. That's fantastic. So, all right. Well, what is this? Sounds biographical is the word I was trying to produce out of my mouth. Is
indeed.
It?
Indeed.
All right.
Yes. Yes, it is. This is a bit of a memoir from Patton Oswalt. Many people in the chat room have recognized his voice. And it's called Silver Screen Fiend, Learning About Life from an Addiction to Film. And what's hilarious about this book to me is he kind of goes through his early days in his in his career and how he became completely addicted to anything cinema. And he writes about it in such a way, it's almost like if you've ever read a memoir of a recovered alcoholic or a recovering addict. Same thing. You know, they talk about like how I went on this binge and that binge, but that's Patton Oswalt talking about going to the New Beverly and watching, you know, old classics. And he literally was just like, he would go there every day and watch whatever was playing. And it was starting to affect his career, his ability to write, and you know, because all of these plots of all these movies were getting weirdly meshed in his head, and he was making really bizarre pitches for sketches on Mad TV, and they were like, yeah, okay, like, we'll write that out for us, and we'll consider it, you know? So he writes about how his addiction to movies, really the same way that an alcoholic would write about their descent into alcoholism. And it's great. It's wow. Of course it's funny. It's Patton Oswalt. And sure. I will tell you, if you do the audiobook version, there are a number of times where you could tell he shifts between reading the text and then he goes, and by the way, here's a footnote for you guys listening to the audiobook. Oh, cool. Blah 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 blah. And those are great. He just shifts into like, hey, I'm just here talking to you, telling you a story.
It's not even part of the book. That's great. I like that.
That's really cool.
I don't know if you call it fourth wall breaking, but I like when they add a little extra something to
what you're doing. It makes you feel like you're getting a little something extra with the audiobook.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's very short. The book itself is only 240 pages. The audiobook version takes about 4 hours to listen to. It's fantastic. It's really good. It was released in 2015. So it was before his wife died. So there's a bit at the end that's sort of an appendix, because he talks about in the acknowledgments. I always listen to the acknowledgments, particularly when it's a memoir. You know, there's going to be some good little nuggets in there, little anecdote that they're going to slip in there. And he acknowledges his wife. And so that's a little sad. It's like, oh, past Patton, your wife's going to die.
That was a rough thing for him. But he seems to be doing good now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, now he's married to Meredith Salinger.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Super hot. Yeah. You know?
Yep.
So.
And he ain't getting any hotter. He's getting lumpier.
Right? Yeah.
I saw him at probably age, he's roughly our age, a little older than us, I think, Brian. But he was in a Seinfeld episode where he played a VHS movie clerk,
Oh, really? Like a Blockbuster
kind of thing. Style thing?
Yeah.
And he would have been, I was doing the math on it, he would have been like 24.
Wow.
It's wild to see it because it's just like a kid. It's just a little,
yeah,
a little pudgy, funny, weird looking kid.
Oh, that's so cool.
Does he talk in that book at all about how it seemed like Patton Oswalt was doing stand up and he was on King of Queens here and there and stuff like that, but it was small. Yeah. Mostly stand-up stuff, and then suddenly Ratatouille comes. He's the voice of the rat. Remy the Rat, and then suddenly his career seems like it exploded after Ratatouille. Did he talk about that at all? No?
Yeah, he talks about that, and he talks about, really, from his point of view, King of Queens is really where he got a foothold. Because, you know, I mean, he was a series regular on King of Queens, and so that was his steady source of income for like 9 years, he said. And I was like, whoa, King of Queens was on that long? You know, so I mean, I guess for it to be a steady source of income, it wouldn't have had to be on that long. It just needs to be in syndication, right?
Sure.
But he talks about King of Queens, and he does retrospectively says, if you'd have told me at this point in time that I would voice a Pixar character, like, there would have been no way, because he talks about actually going to the movies when the Toy Story movies first started coming out. Sure. And he was enthralled by that, and then
to actually be in one of the movies from that group later on.
He's in a really,
somebody in the chat mentioned Zombie Spaceship Wasteland, which is his newer book. That one came out in 2011, and which is similar. It's also a memoir, but he talks about, he talks about more his youth, you know, in that book. So he talks about being a young kid and, being a teenager working in a Cineplex kind of thing. He talks about all of those things. And this one again is called Silver Screen Fiend. It's really good.
I would like to hear it. I was just checking.
I'm sorry. I said that Zombie Spaceship Wasteland was newer. That's incorrect.
Oh, is that older?
Because 2011 is older than 2015.
You're right. You're right.
It's news. Breaking news. Breaking from Georgia. News.
Yep. You know? Wow. How on fire is all your media there in Georgia today? Must be pretty crazy.
You know,
if you pay attention to it.
When you said that earlier, yeah. I was like, I guess I should Google it and find out what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Because like I got up this morning and I said, okay, I need to make a clip. I need to get everything set up for TMS. And I got some work I got to do, blah, blah, blah. And so I turned on like the piano jazzy Mario music.
Oh, yeah.
And I was oblivious. I was like, okay. So I didn't know what was going on. But now I see, I'm like, oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, all right then, Georgia, go on with your bad self.
Keep on rocking that. I was trying to find it. I was trying to kill a little time while I found it. I cannot find it. But there was a documentary right around the time things started blowing up for him, for Patton Oswalt, that was following him, Zach Galifianakis, Brian Posehn, and I forgot her name. She's that crazy comedian that's just kind of wacky. I can't think of her name. Maria Bamford.
Oh, yeah.
I love her so much.
It's a really, they all went on tour together and did a bunch of dates as just like, this was the comedy tour. And the documentary is crazy. It's the first time I'd even heard of Galifianakis. So this is a while ago. And it is real good. I recommend tracking that down. Half this thing, I swear, Brian, you'd love it, because him and Posehn would sneak away from everybody multiple times in the week to go find comic book shops.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And buy comics because they were so into it. And it would drive some of the other ones crazy. And then also Galifianakis was as weird as you think he is and was just freaking everybody out on the tour. It's a fantastic tour, but I just don't know what it's called. Or not.
Comedians of Comedy is what Dr.
That's
Calhoun
it.
Says.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I need to see that. Basically, I love it when stuff like that and Smartless, when you get people that you think are funny, all, it's like a superhero team up.
Yeah.
You know, to carry the comic metaphor.
Yeah.
But it's better, bigger than the sum of their parts.
That's
basically.
Exactly it. It's so there it is. It's Bamford, Oswalt, Posehn, and Galifianakis.
Wow.
It's great. It's worth seeing.
That
2005.
Sounds really cool.
So it was 2005, a year before Ratatouille. So this just felt like it was kind of a brewing moment for all of them.
But on the cusp, sure.
Yeah, it's so super worth watching. All right. Well, there you have it, Amy. As always, give us the title one more time, just so people walk away with it.
The title is Silver Screen Fiend: Learning About Life from an Addiction to Film by Patton Oswalt.
Fantastic. May all your night and day sleep things be fine. Oh, and
thank
don't forget.
You. Yes.
Tell them about the channel. Let's see what's going on over there. What's happening?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I'm still trying to kind of find a good time that's going to consistently work. So, you know, just be watching. I usually announce like, hey, I'm going to do a pottery stream today, you know, at several hours ahead of time. I think I'm sticking with Thursdays, but I've switched it to being after my work time because I have a new boss who likes to schedule meetings. So, you know, so
sounds like about
middle
right.
of the day, yeah, middle of the day, pottery stream wasn't really working for me there. Yeah. But and I'm gonna probably start doing them more often because I've got a lot of cool new techniques that I want to try out and play with on camera for you guys. Cool. So yeah, definitely follow me over there, youtube.com/ at Red Fraggle 3.
Yeah.
And we have important.
Yep.
We have one more spot for the Asheville meetup, you guys. And I am very excited. Chuck is very, like, everybody's getting excited. We're going to have so much fun. I think Dunaway is like really stoked about
I know. Looking at his, like, the stuff that he's bringing is hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. He's into it. I've never seen him this excited about anything, if I'm honest.
I'm all for it. I think we should like set up microphones and do like a riff tracks when we have like movie night or something.
Certainly yeah. can. I am not fun. Bringing any like microphone, headphone. I'm going to have my AirPods and that's it. I'm not bringing I'm so tired of going on trips where I have to take so much equipment because I'm going to try and record a podcast while I'm doing it.
Yeah,
so.
It's kind of the worst.
You are our guest. You are the guest. Be so you guest. Come on and just have fun.
Be cool. Our guest. Yeah. Real gorilla chest. Anyway.
Oh, by the way, yeah. I took your little private message as a challenge there. So you might want to check on your buildings.
Check on your town, Brian. You're probably getting bulldozed.
no, still 5 full shields.
Wait, what? How come I only have
I knocked all your buildings down, bro.
Not mine.
I totally did.
I'm on let me take a look here. Let me look at my land.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Stop moving. Yeah. Collect.
How do you have 5 shields? I only get 3 max.
As you increase your net worth, you get extra shield spaces. You get faster dice replenishment.
Okay.
Yeah. All my buildings are like super nice and pristine and clean.
Does it just like auto fix them while it's auto running in the background?
No. I think you're attacking a different Brian.
It was a Brian with like it's picture of you with a target and an
axe.
That's
definitely me. Yeah. Weird. Yeah, no, it's
maybe it's time delayed or something the way it works. I don't know.
Yeah.
It may not be real time.
But this runs in the background and my shields have not dropped down below 4.
So, wow.
Well, yeah. There you go then. That's
there are many
story.
Brians.
I wonder who I smashed.
Yeah, well, somebody who's posing as me apparently and trying to take all my dice. Yeah.
Matuba in the chat, they're talking about Monopoly Go. Go download it. It's a very stupid game we're all enjoying. Okay.
It is really so dumb. It is a dopamine factory.
We'll probably have a whole Wendy segment on this in a couple of months when we've all died.
Fine. It'll be fine. As long as I get my stickers before then, I don't care.
Yep. Amy, our best to the kids and to Chuck, and enjoy your week, and we'll see you next time. Bye now.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. All right. There she goes. There she goes.
Yeah, Matuba, this is probably not for you, although it has as much to do with Monopoly as, you know, it's visuals. It's like,
oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, exactly. It's not
the
Monopoly
fact that
at all.
Scott is even playing it.
Yeah, and I hate Monopoly.
It should be testament how little it really has to do with.
Yeah, Monopoly. I don't like Monopoly at all. And this is just—it's just the motif of Monopoly. That's it.
Yeah,
it's a whole different kind of bag.
But you know, hey, it may not be for you, Matuba, but totally fine.
Yeah, whatever. It's totally fine. All right, where are we now? We're done. Well, that's where we are. The show's over. And I would like to thank our patrons because I just realized yesterday I was going through some names to put them at the top of the show, and I was like, man, look at this page upon page upon page of people. Now, we were dumb when we set this thing up and set kind of our goals a little low in terms of like how much per month and that sort of thing. But it doesn't matter because we're so grateful to have whatever you can do. All right. So that dollar a month thing still applies. You can get in there, and for as low as $1 a month, you can support the show. There are other higher levels to get more stuff, like art in the mail and, you know, some other cool monthly benefits. You can only get at those levels. But but there's still just that dollar entry point. So some of you out there are like, well, is it even worth the trouble? Yes, it is. Go over there and do it today. All right. Patreon.com/TMS. Show your love and support for the show in the best way possible so that we can keep it on the air. That's patreon.com/TMS. Brian will now play us a song and take us out.
Totally play you a song. Mac wrote in, said, "Hello, boys. My lovely wife, Talithia, has survived another spin around this star on or around the 15th, and I'd like to do a little something to celebrate her. She introduced me to the concept of industrial music. She's the mistress, and I am still the student of her two favorite bands, Front 242 and Frontline Assembly. I have no idea if anyone has tried to cover them, so I leave the challenge to you, Covermaster. Good luck." Mm. She just likes bands that begin with the word front.
Apparently. I was going to say, is there a third? I can't even think of a third one.
I can't think of one either. Front. I can tell you that I don't have any other fronts in my library, because when I did just typed in the word front, the only thing that came up was a cover of Front 242's Crushed. This is by a woman who's no stranger to the Dragon Con and pop culture convention circuit. She's great. And I think she's even done some like steampunky kind of performances. Regardless, she's really, really good. Her name, she performs under the name Unwoman. And this is from her all cover album, Uncovered, from 2011. She is awesome. This is Crushed, originally by Front 242, performed by Unwoman.
See you guys tomorrow.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Blah, blah, blah. Who cares?
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.